In Tim Robbins' new play, Embedded, the soldiers wear fatigues and faces that betray fear, anxiety, sorrow, and determination. The government officials wear masks that betray nothing, while most of the reporters sound like confused bees circling and snapping. Embedded is a series of satirical sketches on the subject of war in a place called Gomorrah, featuring real-looking soldiers and impassive mask-based characters called Rum Rum and Pearly Whites. The men in masks plan, plot, and chant, while the soldiers risk, run, and long for home. Mr. Robbins, who just won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for his role in the film Mystic River, is the writer and director of Embedded, which premiered in Los Angeles and is now open at New York's Public Theater. He joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Pretty crowded mantelpiece at home in your family.
Oh, my goodness. I set the two Oscars up in the back room together, and they're getting to know each other.
Well,
what's going to be really scary is walking into that room in a couple of days and seeing a pregnant Oscar.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you to you both.
Is it possible, I've written a couple press accounts, that the genesis of this play began when you were kept out of the Hall of Fame ceremonies for the anniversary of Bull Durham?
Well, it was a combination of that and Susan's cancellation at a United Way appearance. And
I'm afraid I don't know about that.
Well, there was 2 weeks before or 3 weeks before the Bull Durham cancellation. She mm-hmm. was canceled from a speaking appearance on women in leadership in Florida.
Do we need to say for our audience, Susan Sarandon, your longtime companion?
Yes.
Co-Oscar winner.
And it was a combination of those two things and also vilification for using our rights to dissent and to ask questions about whether there was justification for war without the support of, you know, the UN and the world. And there was a pretty rabid tone in talk radio and in certain press mm-hmm. and calling to question our patriotism. And I had a real problem with that. And so I was doing a lot of research at the time on the internet from different alternative news sources, from the UK, from The Independent and The Guardian, and reading about the war as it was happening from those two publications. And that was the scary thing during the war, is that mm-hmm. what I was reading from England was a completely different reporting mm-hmm. of the war. And it begs the question, why? Why are our outlets not willing to report things that mm-hmm. papers in Europe are? And I started writing down what I felt might be said behind closed doors in a satirical way. And so it all started with the masked characters. And then I realized I had somewhat of a play. And then I started bringing in some more real-life characters and then the journalists and tried to figure out a kind of a way to deal with my frustration, my anger, and try to find some humor in it and try to make an entertainment out of it.
I want to be careful not to say this defensively. Someone who was reported from Iraq, as obviously this network has. But if you take a look at the whole scan of American reporting, which certainly you did, there were so many people who filed first-person, front-line accounts in which military mistakes were reported,
mm-hmm.
civilian casualties were reported, obviously the casualties of American soldiers and British soldiers, and reported in real time, sometimes on live television, live radio.
I'm not saying that there's an absolute lack of it. I'm saying that there's a different priority mm-hmm. that in the European press and more of a debate in the European press pre-war than there is in the American press. We were not seeing the results of our bombs landing. We were not seeing civilian casualties on the front pages of newspapers. We were not seeing them on the nightly news. We were not seeing the human cost of war. It becomes an abstract. It becomes a video game. And why is that happening? Why do we say it's okay to show the reality of war? And we demand the reality of war in our movies, but we don't want it in reality. Why is that?
Let me ask you an actors and directors question about that chorus of masks you have with Rum Rum, Pearly Whites. I'm forgetting some of the names.
Cove, Gondola, and Woof.
I suppose you wouldn't contradict anyone who assumes that this is Richard Perle and Donald Rumsfeld and folks like that.
I would, because as much as those might be partly the model of it, there's no imitations and there's no specifics regarding reality with those mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm. Your depictions of the soldiers and their families are so human and detailed. You show people who are presumably in the guard, people who have families.
Jobs,
being called up, called away, sent away for some time. You get some idea of the cost on the home front, not to mention their own anxieties and concerns where they are. Mm. Which raises the question, as an actor and director, what would you do to play one of your characters behind the masks? What would you do to fill in human details of a Rum Rum or a Pearly Whites?
Well, you have to understand, the whole reason in writing it was this, try to understand why. What is the rationale? What is the justification in their mind? Because I don't believe that anyone is evil. I think that people have their own reasons for doing things. And I believe that there has to be a rationalization and justification that is within the realm of a certain morality that they come to these decisions. And whether it's the decision to use deception, to lie, to out a CIA operative, whatever it is, there has to be some kind of reason behind it. And that's the challenge in writing and also in acting those kinds of parts is, you know, what are those human rationalizations?
When you're putting together can I call it a show?
Yeah, it's a show.
Okay.
Someone told me the other day it's got all the structure of a musical comedy, which is kind of true. It does. It doesn't have the song and dance numbers, but we do have some... You know, kind of that kind of same energy.
Right, when you have a character, as a matter of fact, I guess he's army officer, army colonel, as I recall.
He's a colonel who trains the journalists. He does good basic training with the journalists, and he's also very much into musical theater.
Trying to remember one of the at one point he goes into a peroration. I'm trying to think. Well, the journalists are surprised that he says something like
he says, you know, I don't know who's. I can't say the language on the radio, but whose butt I crawled up into to get this assignment. You know, I'm going to train you guys to be on the battlefield with my fighting men. They must think I'm Jesus going to turn water into wine. They must think I'm Moses going to part the Red Sea. They must think I'm David Merrick going to turn this musical into a hit. And someone laughs and he says, what do you think you're laughing at, Sally Bowles? And he goes over and admonishes her and says, would it surprise you to know that I played Riff in West Side Story in Zagreb and, you know, et cetera.
I like that character. When you're putting together a show like this, do you tell yourself there has to be a balance or a ratio between quoting Leo Strauss, for example, and making jokes? Yeah. Mr. Strauss, we should explain, is conveniently not around to...
No, he's been dead for a few years. Yeah. He was a University of Chicago professor. I believe he taught Irving Kristol, and he taught, I think, Wolfowitz, maybe. Yeah, you have to... number one rule going into any kind of thing I'm writing or thinking about directing is that I'm not interested in polemic. I'm not interested in any lecture. It's always got to be entertainment. And so you have to, you have to find the balance between what information you want to bring in and the amount of laughter you're able to get from an audience.
You just made a movie with Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
Did very well for both of you, obviously, and Sean Penn winning the Academy Award. The last time we talked to Clint Eastwood, he had political convictions that might be different than your own. We haven't talked to him in a few years. I don't know what the case is. But when you're making a movie with someone involved in a creative enterprise, does any of that count for anything? Did it in this case?
For me, it doesn't. I never talk to an actor when I'm hiring as a director what their politics are. I don't care. It's what's in their heart. It's what's what they can bring to the page as far as their own humanity goes. Mm-hmm. And I've come to understand over the years that there's quite a few great... beautiful souls that also happen to be conservatives or Republicans. And there's also some people that'll abandon you in a second that happen to be liberals. Mm-hmm. And so I don't make judgments on people's politics. And Clint Eastwood, as much as he's got a reputation for being a conservative or Republican, has a real strong dose of humanity in him. And is you can tell that immediately when you walk onto his set, how he treats people, how he looks at people, how he talks to people. That's essentially more important than what his philosophy is. The idea also last year, when this Bull Durham fracas happened, that there are two people that came out very strongly in the press in support of us were two people that you would consider to be Republicans, Clint Eastwood and Kevin Costner.
What kind of roles interest you now as an actor?
Usually roles that I haven't played before. Mm-hmm. So let's see. I want to do like a big action adventure movie where I get to save somebody. run around a lot and fight.
It's usually never just one person, I think, in an action movie.
Yeah. I'd like to do a hockey movie. That would be fun. I haven't done a musical. I'm kind of interested in that.
I didn't know you did musicals.
I don't. That's why I want to do them.
Forgive me. Can you sing?
That question I can't answer. You're going to have to ask other people. I mean, whether I can sing or not, it's probably up for debate, right?
I mean, I know you can cover yourself in mud, and I know you can look like you're throwing a curveball, but I mean, the singing part I've just missed. You sing in Bull Durham, but not well, right?
No.
I assume that was part
poorly.
Of the role, though.
Yeah.
Mr. Robbins, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Playwright, director, and now Academy Award-winning actor Tim Robbins. His new play is Embedded. It's at the Public Theater in New York.
She may get woolly. Young girls, they do get woolly because of all the stress. Yeah.